How do you identify covert retaliation? Well, listen to this episode and I will give you 8 categories of covert retaliation.
Captain Integrity Production and the law firm of Nelson Mullins presents Stark Integrity, the Stark Law and Compliance Podcast. Stark Integrity explores the world of the Stark Law and healthcare compliance with our nationally recognized Stark Law, Fraud, and Compliance attorney, Bob Wade. Bob has a national healthcare, legal, and compliance practice that focuses on the minions of the Anti-Kickback Statute, False Claims Act, and the Stark Law, including fair market value and commercial reasonableness. Although Bob is a law partner in the national law firm of Nelson Mullins, the views expressed in Stark Integrity are Bob's personal views and not the views of the firm, and they are not intended to be legal advice. Now, without further ado, I give you Captain Integrity, Bob Wade.
Welcome to Stark Integrity, the Stark Law and Compliance Podcast. My name is Bob Wade and I am your host. Well, today I'm going to talk about retaliation. And anybody who's been around healthcare knows that all healthcare organizations should have a non-retaliation policy. But I want to talk a little bit about the origins of non-retaliation in healthcare, what it is and what it's not, and also to try to give you the 8 categories of covert retaliation. But let's get away from healthcare, just generally. In most states, most employees are employees at will, meaning they can hire and fire you for any or no reason except you cannot be discriminated against. And there are certain categories of discrimination. And those categories are race, color, religion, sex. Sex includes pregnancy, sexual orientation, or gender identity, national origin, age discrimination, and age is 40 or above, disability, or genetic information. So outside of the context of healthcare or just any type of government contractor, if somebody is bringing issues up to the organization and the organization does not like the fact that somebody is bringing these issues up, they can fire you. But if you are dealing with a government contractor, the False Claims Act is applicable. And obviously for any entity in healthcare that bills and receives reimbursement from Medicare or Medicaid, either directly or indirectly, they are dealing with the federal government. And so the False Claims Act is the source of non-retaliation. And I've had a lot of episodes on Stark Integrity dealing with the False Claims Act. And I'll just give you the basics of the False Claims Act. So the False Claims Act is to reach all types of fraud that can impact the federal government. And there are 7 different categories of violations, either a false claim that you present or cause to be present a false claim for payment, false records or statements, like making a false medical record, conspiracy to violate the False Claims Act, conversion, you know, meaning you're failing to return property to the government, false receipts, unlawful purchase of government property, or the reverse false claim. And that's once you receive reimbursement from the federal government and you know you are not entitled to keep it, but you keep it anyway, that is a reverse false claim. And as we all know, the damages are huge. It's treble damages, so that's 3 times the amount that you received from the federal government, plus up to, and this is this year, $27,894 per violation. So every claim submitted, if it's a $2 laboratory, that'd be 2 times 3 is $6 plus $27,894. So you have to establish knowledge. It's either actual knowledge, deliberate ignorance, or reckless disregard for the law. And then you go into the whistleblower protection. So if you are aware that someone has committed fraud, then you, as a quitam relator, can bring an action on behalf of the government. And that's called a quitam case. And so the government can intervene in those cases. Again, I'm not going to go real deep in the False Claims Act because I really want to focus on the anti-retaliation provisions. Under the anti-retaliation provisions, that if you bring it, whether employee, board member, physician, if you are discharged, demoted, suspended, threatened, harassed, or discriminated against in any way because of lawful acts taken to stop violations under the False Claims Act, then you cannot be retaliated against. And if you are, then there's liability that would have to be paid. So the liability for retaliation is not limited just to the employer. It could be anybody who's involved. So if it is the chief operating officer is the individual that's involved, not only is the entity could be liable for retaliation, but also individuals. So wrong whistleblowers may recover reinstatement with the same seniority status that they would have had, but for the discrimination or retaliation. Now, you really have to question, would you really want to go back into an organization who culturally allowed retaliation to exist? Probably not, but it's possible. Also, it's 2 times the amount of back pay plus interest and compensation for any special damages that you have sustained, such as emotional distress. Plus, you can obtain your attorney's fees and costs. And in a retaliation case can be brought together or separately with a False Claims Act QUITAM complaint. So if you want to be a QUITAM relator, you can file a QUITAM case. And separately, you can file the retaliation, or you can file that all as part of the same case. Now, as the listeners to Stark Integrity know, that I was the integrity officer for a hospital system for about 7 years. And I never thought that I would have to have Kleenex sitting on my desk for people to come into my office when they wanted to bring a complaint or a question or an issue dealing with a potential violation. But I guess we just have to realize that people fear retaliation. I mean, you can talk about non-retaliation, you can have a great non-retaliation policy, but at its core, human beings fear that someone is going to retaliate against them. These individuals who are coming forward usually are extremely serious about the issue. Otherwise, they would not have come forward. So, you know, typically that if somebody is bringing an issue forward and they're talking to you about this, you usually should tell them that, you know, we have a non-retaliation policy and I am here to enforce that non-retaliation policy. So if you feel that you are being retaliated in any fashion, then please get back a hold of me as the compliance officer or a senior level executive in the organization and make sure that we identify, because it's a separate violation. I could be bringing a billing issue, by way of example, forward to the organization, but if the organization retaliates against me, then now I have a second issue that I need to bring forward to the organization. So I'm bringing forward a potential bad act, and then if I get retaliated against, then obviously that's a separate action from what I initially reported. And I also probably should note that you can bring a retaliation claim against an organization without being a QUITAM relator on the initial issue that you brought forward to the organization, because it's a separate right of action under the False Claims Act. As long as what you're reporting is relating to reimbursement or payments made by the federal government to an entity that is participating in a federal program. Now, generally, retaliation goes into 2 main buckets. It's overt, meaning actual, or covert, meaning you're kind of disguising what you do. If it's overt, it's pretty simple and easy. You get an email and said, I know that you reported an issue to the compliance program, and because you reported that issue, I'm now going to terminate you, or I'm now going to demote you. So those type of, you know, emails, any type of statements that are overt, those are pretty easy to identify. Now, sometimes it's just a two-way conversation and other people are not listening, and those may be a little bit more challenging, but most likely it's going to be in front of others, or it's going to be through an email, or it's going to be through some type of disciplinary action that has been taken against you. So overt is one category, but covert is the more challenging way that people retaliate for people bringing issues forward in an organization. So as I said in my teaser, I have classified 8 subtle or covert retaliation categories, and I'm going to go through those 8 right now. So number one, administrative retaliation. And this occurs when an employee experiences negative consequences in their job, such as a demotion, maybe a reduction in hours, a denial of a promotion as a result of whistleblowing or reporting unethical behavior within the organization. So you are actually receiving administrative consequences that affect your employment. So that's administrative retaliation. Category number two is exclusion and marginalization. So this occurs when an employee speaks out against wrongdoing. They may find themselves isolated or excluded from important meetings. Like you typically attend the executive committee meeting, but now you're not being invited to that meeting. Or you're not part of the decision-making process, where once before you were part of the decision-making process for the approval of physician financial arrangements, and now they're administratively excluding you from that. Or even social events within the workplace. Let's say that executive leaders go out to lunch, and they're now excluding you from those events. So it makes it difficult for you to advance in your career or have your concerns heard if you're not fully participating. So that's exclusion and marginalization. So category number three is unfair performance evaluations. And I have seen this happen. So this is covert retaliation that involves unfairly assessing an employee's performance, giving them a lower rating, or criticizing them for minor issues as a way to punish them for speaking out. This is an actual call that I participated on when I was in-house. We received a hotline call, and I was driving back from a facility, and I get a call from the senior executive. I think I made them aware that I was investigating a certain issue. And this senior executive started talking about the performance of this individual who whistleblew something and was the cause of the investigation that I was conducting. And I had to stop the senior executive and said, let's not proceed any further. I said, you know, this individual reported something to the compliance department. You know, I have opened up an investigation. And if I look at this employee's employment record, I'm probably not going to find poor performance. So I said, it sounds like you're coming up with a poor performance issue just because this individual reported something to the compliance department. So, you know, we got to treat those things, and your radar has to really be up when people start reporting unfair performance evaluations if that individual is part of the reporting process. And when I was in-house, when people brought things to my attention, I kept a list, and I called them the sacred lambs in the organization. And so I informed the HR office if any of the sacred lambs had a poor performance evaluation that was inconsistent with a previous evaluation, that I needed to be aware of it. And so that way that I can actually review the performance evaluation and to make an assessment as to whether or not I believe that covert retaliation is occurring through the performance evaluation process. Category number four is increased scrutiny and micromanagement. So retaliation can manifest as heightened scrutiny of your work, with managers excessively monitoring your activities or imposing strict deadlines and requirements, making it harder for the employee to perform effectively. If an employee reported an issue and all of a sudden the employee is getting given a really overt scrutiny of their performance, or they're nitpicking every thing that the employee does because the individual reported something to the compliance program, that would be a covert retaliation. Category number five is loss of opportunities. So if the individual who reported issues, they find themselves passed over for desirable assignments, educational opportunities, career advancement paths, and the like. So it's opportunities that would have been given to that employee, but is no longer given to the employee because the employee reported an issue through the compliance function. This individual is up for a promotion and then all of a sudden is out of the running for that promotion because the organization knew that this person was an internal whistleblower or external whistleblower. So that's the fifth category. Category number six is social ostracism. Colleagues and supervisors may engage in covert forms of social ostracism, excluding the individual from professional networks, lunch gatherings, or other social interactions within the workplace. So it's creating a hostile environment and undermining the employee's sense of belonging. if the individual is excluded from a social network, let's say that they were a member of the Healthcare Compliance Association, but they now have been told that they can no longer be a member of such association, that would be excluding the individual from a professional network. Or, you know, the lunch gatherings or social events. So if the CEO is having a Christmas party at their house, and traditionally this employee was invited to that Christmas party, but is no longer because the individual was a whistleblower, that would be an act of social ostracism, which is a form of covert retaliation. Category number 7, subtle sabotage. It's funny because in law school, I heard that in some law schools that sabotage does occur. Let's say that you leave your desk to go to the restroom, that sometimes people would take your books or take your notes or things like that. So that's somewhat what subtle sabotage is. It's covert retaliation involving subtle acts of sabotage, such as withholding important information, providing misleading guidance, or intentionally undermining the individual's work in ways that are difficult to detect or prove. So if the employee is supposed to put together a report, I intentionally withhold information from that individual because the individual is a whistleblower, then I am now sabotaging that individual's work performance in order to make that individual look bad. So that is subtle sabotage. And category number 8 is psychological intimidation. So covert retaliation can also take the form of psychological intimidation, such as threats to the employee, say, you better not call the hotline, otherwise you won't get promoted, or I'm going to take some negative disciplinary action against you. Intentionally creating rumors about the individual, talking about their spouse, their kids, them individually. I know a lot of that happens in politics, but this is not politics. Or implicit warnings about the potential consequences of speaking out or continuing to challenge the status quo. That issue is very interesting because a lot of times, and I had an episode where I interviewed the Facebook whistleblower, and it's called The Power of One. It's actually a two-part episode. We're just talking about her challenges that she faced within Facebook because everybody was supposed to take Mark Zuckerberg's marching orders. But she was bringing issues forward, and so she was challenging the status quo. So she, in those episodes, she talks about, as well as in her book that she wrote, she talked about the psychological intimidation that was occurring. And so she was ostracized. Psychological intimidation can occur within the organization, and especially if it's a very dominant culture. I've been in a lot of healthcare organizations. In fact, when I was in-house, at one time we had 3 separate hospitals, and the culture in each of those hospitals were radically different. And so in one of the hospitals, it was very easy to bring issues forward, and people wanted that and accepted that and encouraged it. And in the other, our other hospitals, it was a little bit more challenging. Although as a compliance officer, I still think I effectively opened the lines of communication, but that culture was more of, it's the chain of command, or we're going to do the status quo type of thing. And don't say anything negative because you don't want to be the person that's crying wolf, so to speak. Those are type of issues by looking at the culture. In fact, I've been in, now it's the fourth law firm, very radically different cultures. In fact, in one of the law firms I was with, it was, you stayed the status quo and you don't say anything against the way the law firm is heading. Now, in the law firm, the False Claims Act does not apply. But if that was the healthcare, then it potentially could apply if the issues that are being brought forward in the organization are trying to root out fraud or inappropriate billing of the federal government. So now it's time for the 3 Captain Integrity Punch Points. Captain Integrity Punch Point number 1, there are 2 broad categories of retaliation. It's overt and covert, with covert being the most challenging large bucket of retaliation. Captain Integrity Punch Point number 2 is the anti-retaliation provisions under the False Claims Act are separate causes of action that an individual can bring against entity as well as individuals. And Captain Integrity punch point number three is covert retaliation is the most challenging to identify. And so hopefully with the eight categories that I provided in this episode, it'll give you a sense of what type of activities you should be looking for in order to identify covert retaliation.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Stark Integrity, the Stark Law and Compliance Podcast. If you have any questions regarding this episode, the Stark Law, or healthcare compliance, you can contact me at bobwadecaptainintegrity@gmail.com or my law firm email address at bob.wade@nelsonmullins.com. You can review this and any other episode of Stark Integrity at the Captain Integrity website at captainintegrity.com. You can also follow me on LinkedIn under Bob Wade. I hope the three Captain Integrity punch points will help you with the Stark Law and compliance. In closing, remember that integrity depends on you and me.